I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
A resource for critical breaking news, traffic and weather, and conversation about Utah's most important stories. Listen on the KSL News Radio app, sponsored by NAR Services, KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City, KSL News Radio, Utah's all-day companion for news.
This is the 5 o'clock report. I'm Jeff Kaplan, KSL's top story, developing news on KSL News Radio. We're learning more about what is happening in Holiday this afternoon after reports of shots fired, an injured suspect, and police officer. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson is live at the scene at 45th South and 23rd East. Paul, please lay out the details.
Well, we're hearing, Jeff, that this could have started after some sort of a crash between a man on a motorcycle and a pickup truck. That's happened right at the intersection of 4500 South, 2300 East. And there was an officer that happened to be at the Chevron filling up gas. So he went to approach the scene, as did a couple of officers that were just leaving the station just down the street.
From talking with witnesses, it was a pretty aggressive fight with the officers. The individual then bent down, picked up a gun from that was on the ground, pointed it at the officers, and the officers fired at him.
And that's Sheriff Rosie Rivera saying she's not exactly sure who the gun belonged to. Was it an officer's gun? Was it his gun? They're not confirming yet, but witnesses apparently did say that they heard the man say that he did have a gun. And that man has been taken to the hospital. He is in either critical or serious condition. Reporting live, Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
The details as we know them. Stay with us for the very latest from Holiday, where the story is still developing. KSL News Time 5:02.
The coronavirus, the Utah response.
911 coronavirus cases. It's the highest single-day total in Utah since the beginning. Governor Herbert says this is a bad news day, but it's not the end of the world.
This is a matter of, hey, we've got a red flag warning. We take it seriously. And we're going to find a pathway forward that we can all unite and focus on.
Governor Herbert stopped short of issuing a mask mandate or rolling back restrictions to Code Orange. Utah Higher Education Commissioner David Wolstenholme says colleges might need to take more drastic action if things don't change.
But if the numbers keep going like they have in the last couple of days, I wouldn't be surprised if we're 100% online in the near future.
One city in Utah County says they won't issue a mask mandate, even if cases rise. Our team coverage continues. Here's KSL News Radio's Kelly Pierce.
Orem Mayor Richard Bruntz feels with all the mask requirements around town, it's like having a mandate.
All of our retail and restaurants require the wearing of masks. Our university requires that. Our hospitals require that. We have two hospitals in Orem. Our schools require the wearing of masks. And we feel that's probably one of the best ways to actually enforce the wearing of masks.
And enforcement's the other issue. Bruntz feels it would be too tough for a police force of 120 to enforce a mandate in a city of 100,000, a concern shared by police in Provo, which has one. Kelly Pierce, KSL News Radio.
Mayor Bruntz says most people in town wear their masks voluntarily anyway. Job growth is slowing, and that has renewed the push for coronavirus relief funding. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, Republicans today increasing pressure on their Democratic counterparts to approve a stimulus bill. GOP Senator John Kennedy not holding back when talking to reporters this afternoon.
Speaker Pelosi's bill that she continues to push, all she's doing is grooming a corpse. It's not going to pass in the Senate.
Kennedy says House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer's push to bail out California, New York, and other states is preventing a deal on stimulus relief. Meantime, Democrats are criticizing the president's campaign event in Wisconsin tonight. There has been a significant increase in COVID cases in the past 2 weeks there. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says the president has failed to meet the moment.
He denied there was a shortage. He downplayed there was a need. He deflected blame. He even blamed President Obama.
The U.S. is approaching 200,000 coronavirus-related deaths. President Trump is announcing the formation of a new commission to create school programming that teaches students to celebrate American history.
By viewing every issue through the lens of race, they want to impose a new segregation, and we must not allow that to happen.
The president condemning a New York Times 1619 project, which focuses on how black people have been treated in America dating back to the arrival of the first slave ship. And a judge this afternoon issuing a nationwide injunction against the controversial U.S. Postal Service changes that have delayed mail delivery across the country. The judge calling it a politically motivated attack on the efficiency of the Postal Service. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
Utah is taking steps to protect the election. Todd Fuchs is here to tell you how.
Jeff, the Salt Lake office of the FBI is telling us about how they investigate federal election crime. FBI Supervisory Special Agent Drew Scown says they see attempts to suppress voting through social media.
This is things like posts giving the incorrect date or times or places for folks to vote, or posts telling voters they could vote by text or by email.
And that is not true. You cannot vote by text or email, no matter how convenient that might seem. And you don't believe any post that tries to tell you the election has been moved. The FBI says a lot of social media activity is coming from other countries that are trying to hurt America. Texas's governor says mail-in voting will not happen there, but he's widened the window of how long Texans have to vote.
What I did do to ensure the safety of people during the election process is to ensure there would be an additional week for people to be able to vote early so that they would not be required to go into crowded settings when they go about the process of voting early.
This decision comes from Governor Greg Abbott just a week after judges ruled Texas can keep its strict requirements for voting by mail. KSL News Time 5:06.
First look traffic on the 5 o'clock report. We're brought to you by Mountain America Credit Cards. Find your fave. And here's Ricky Meese.
We now have emergency traffic. It's due to a vehicle fire. Southbound I-15 is prior to the I-80-201 interchange. Left lane's blocked. We've got stop-and-go delays reaching back to about North Temple. Not quite to 6 North. Also heavy delays westbound I-80. Likely due to construction. And this is... they start as you're approaching the 202 junction. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Thank you, Ricky. The 5 o'clock report is brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time 5:07, and back to Todd Fuchs.
It's developing news on KSL News Radio. Let's dive deeper into this officer-involved shooting in Holiday this afternoon. You got an update from Salt Lake County Sheriff Rosie Rivera just about a half hour ago.
Just shortly after 3 o'clock this afternoon, we had a UPD officer who was putting gas at the Chevron here, and he either heard or observed, we're not sure yet, a crash at the intersection with a motorcycle and a truck. He ran over to see what was going on. The individual on the motorcycle took off running. There was a short foot pursuit. When they did catch up to him, there was a fight. It was, from talking with witnesses, it was a pretty aggressive fight with the officers. The individual then bent down, picked up a gun from that was on the ground, pointed it at the officers, and the officers fired at him. The individual is a male. I don't have any other information right now. But I do know that he was transported to the hospital. He's in either critical or serious condition. I don't have a confirmation on that. But our detectives are there, and the protocol team has been called out. They will do the investigation. And as of today, this is about all the information that we will have until their investigation is complete. We did have a body camera, one body camera on one of the officers. I don't know what's on that yet. That will be turned over to the protocol team, and they will be able to see what's on that body camera.
We just learned a few minutes ago an officer was injured in the scuffle. We're not sure how badly. We can confirm that the officer was not shot. The sheriff says it's unclear whose gun it was that the suspect picked up. But witnesses tell us they heard a suspect yell that he had a gun. That and other details are what we hope to learn as the Critical Incident Protocol team investigates. KSL News Time is 5:08. It's time for Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News. It's brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air, anyhourservices.com.
This story ends in Section 130, Row 4.
A child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way.
This story begins with newborn baby Richard Dotson, who never met his dad, but it never stopped him from winning the game of life. He became a Major League Baseball pitcher for the White Sox, won the division in 83.
Yeah, we had a good team that year. In 83, we won the Western Division.
But he never knew who his dad was, never got to play catch with him, which is ironic because long after his final strikeout, just a year ago, Dotson got a note from Ancestry that said, "I think I'm your cousin." That prompted a DNA test that revealed Dotson's father was also a major league pitcher. What are the odds? Turk Farrell pitched for the Dodgers and the Phillies, retired, and died in a car crash at age 43, never knowing he had a son who followed in his footsteps.
I'm gonna be like him, yeah. You know I'm gonna be like him.
The son is now 60 years old, and Richard Dotson frets about the stories never swapped, the advice about curveballs never shared, father to son, and that's when he got the idea. He called up the White Sox and asked if he could get a cardboard cutout of his newly discovered father along with one of his own. And last Friday night, Section 130, Row 4, Richard Dotson and his dad finally shared a ball game together, right behind the plate.
He'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me.
Of course, they were only cardboard.
And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon.
But it was the closest Richard Dotson could get to having a catch with the dad he never met.
We're gonna have a good time there.
When you watch a baseball game, there are stories behind those cardboard cutouts in the stands.
Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News, only on KSL News Radio.
Triple Team Traffic, brought to you by Mountain America Credit Cards. Find your fave, and it is emergency traffic on southbound I-15. It's due to a vehicle fire now being loaded up on a tow truck, but it's still blocking left lanes of traffic. Prior to the I-80-201 interchange, you have stop-and-go delays. Back to the North Temple area. If you're past that, you're still going to see some heavy and slower traffic moving southbound I-15 between the South Interchange and 90th South. Northbound I-15, you have delays that stretch from Draper to the South Interchange. Heavy and slow traffic filling in now westbound SR-201 between the West Belt to 5600 West. And again, avoid the area of 4500 South and 2300 East due to police activity at that intersection. Michelle?
Well, we're really backed up. This is westbound I-80, picking those delays up prior to Saltaire over to the SR-36 junction. We do think it's due to construction, but it's pretty backed up at this point. Now, if you're on Bankator Highway, seeing some scattered delays there, this is from the 201 freeway into Taylorsville. And KSL Traffic Trooper reporting an accident on Center Street and 500 West in Provo. In intersections around the area, they say are being blocked by police. Steve?
No issues if you're on northbound I-15 leaving from the downtown Salt Lake City area. But into Davis County, got thicker traffic between the Kaysville area and Clearfield. Got a crash on Highway 89 at Eagle Ridge Drive in North Salt Lake. Otherwise, northbound 89 rolling along at pretty good speeds. Some slowing, though, at South Weber Drive up to I-84. And another crash on Highway 89 farther up at 8700 South in South Willard. Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air. They'll evaluate your situation, show you available options, then happily do the work you choose. Google Any Hour Services or visit anyhourservices.com. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. Kevin Eubank has your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, an hour-by-hour description as we head toward Friday.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. As we head through the 5 o'clock hour, temperatures in the upper 80s under smoky sunshine. We'll continue to see some mostly sunny skies through 6 and 7, with temperatures slipping down into the mid-80s. As the sun sets at 7:30, temperatures will slide down to the low 80s and upper 70s as we head through 9 and 10. With your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, I'm Kevin Eubank.
I've been waking up in the dark. Sunrise is at 7:10 tomorrow morning. It's 91 degrees in Salt Lake City. KSL News Time 5:13. Let's go in-depth now with Maria Chaleos.
Jeff, Turkey this week successfully tested his first flying car in Istanbul. Now, the prototype ascended to 10 meters during his flight test, and the chief technology officer hopes that more advanced prototypes will soon be tested with an actual human on board. Jeff, it does look a bit like George Jetson's flying car, but don't get too excited.
Oh.
It's going to be about 10 to 15 years before you can use this for your commute. That's not too long, though. And they do hope to have a recreational version that can be used in more rural areas in about 4 years. Like, are they going to use those on bike paths? I'm trying to imagine that. But the designers say after smart cars, the revolution in automotive technology will be in flying cars. So they're getting ready.
All right. I've been waiting this long. I can wait a little longer.
Me too.
One of the stories we're following on the 5 o'clock report, images from satellites show the smoke from the wildfires on the West Coast is going pretty far. KSL News Radio's Kira Hoffelmeyer joins us live. Where are they being tracked to?
Jeff, that smoke is being tracked 5,000 miles away in Britain and other parts of northern Europe. A weather forecasting service there also says the fires in California, Oregon, and Washington State have emitted somewhere around 33.4 tons of carbon. Portland, Oregon, meantime, is experiencing some of the worst air quality still in the world right now. Incoming rain might help them out soon. Let's cross our fingers. Utah's air quality remains in the moderate category for now, Jeff.
Yeah, all the smoke is way up there, and we're not breathing it. KSL News Time, 5:15. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
Durham is not looking at a mask mandate despite rising coronavirus cases in Utah County. The mayor says most places require it anyway, and it would be pretty tough for police to enforce. I'm KSL News Radio's Kelly Pierce.
911 cases today alone. Second, police and Holiday are responding to an incident at 45th South and 23rd East. One man was taken to the hospital after being shot by police. An officer was injured, but he was not shot. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot. We're brought to you by Mountain America Credit Cards. Find your fave.
And it is emergency traffic due to left lanes blocked southbound I-15 prior to the I-80-201 interchange, approximately 1500 south. It's causing delays back to downtown. Also heavy delays westbound I-80. On the way to Lake Point, they start prior to the 202 junction. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Hot temperatures, smoky sunshine, but a change is coming. I'm Kevin Eubank.
It's 91 degrees now. KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. President Trump wants to teach all Americans to celebrate American history.
Our mission is to defend the legacy of America's founding, the virtue of America's heroes, and the nobility of the American character.
He says the new 1776 commission will counter programs like the New York Times' 1619 project, which focuses on black history in America dating back to the arrival of the first slave ship. The president will soon be on his way to Wisconsin for a campaign rally. Democratic vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris criticizing the Trump administration's response to COVID-19.
A strategy that includes making sure that it is getting to the communities that need it most, and therefore taking into account issues like racial disparities to ensure, and tracking racial disparities to ensure that it actually is getting to all who need it.
The California senator on the campaign trail in Pennsylvania, a former White House official, a top White House official, the latest to speak out against the re-election of the president.
The vice president's former aide and COVID task force member, Olivia Troy, saying as a lifelong Republican, she was disgusted with the president's comments. As for pandemic warnings,
the president didn't want to hear that because his biggest concern was that we were in election year and how is this going to affect what he considered to be his record of success.
The White House says Troy never complained at work and is now a disgruntled ex-employee. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Airline CEOs are urging the White House and Congress to pass a new COVID relief package as the clock ticks down toward furloughs for more than 30,000 of their employees. Oregon Governor Kate Brown is happy to see storms in the forecast.
There are always challenges with a storm like this, such as winds and lightning strikes. But our firefighting teams tell me that we are very grateful for the rain.
You're listening to ABC News.
Onward to the KSL In-Depth.
The coronavirus, the Utah response. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
So we have this record number of COVID-19 cases reported this afternoon, 911 in Utah. We also set a new record for positivity, the rate. We want to bring you state epidemiologist Dr. Angela Dunn. She held a briefing at the state capitol about lunchtime today, and this is Dr. Dunn, unedited.
Our seven-day rolling average is 661 new cases. This is an increase from last week when we were at 381 cases. Our percent positivity has also increased. We are now at 11.9%, whereas last week we were only at 9.1%. This is the highest percent positivity we have reported during this outbreak here in Utah, and the second highest seven-day rolling average of new cases. And today, we are reporting 911 new cases of COVID-19 identified in Utah, our highest single-day case count for new cases. What makes this so alarming is that we have gotten to this peak of a seven-day rolling average of 661 new cases in 1 week. During the summer, it took us 6 weeks to reach this level. But what we've learned from the summer peak, which was started in the young and the healthy, is that COVID-19 then spread to more vulnerable populations, and it led to a peak in hospitalizations and deaths. The initial part of this current surge was driven by 15 to 24-year-olds, but in the recent days, we have seen an increase across all of our ages. So we need to take immediate action to prevent unnecessary illnesses and deaths in the state. I'm especially concerned with what we are seeing in Utah County. They have been experiencing a surge for the past 3 weeks, with the greatest increase in the past week. 40% of our new cases in this past week are from Utah County, but they only account for about 20% of our state's population. And there's parts of Utah County that have infection rates of 1,400 cases per 100,000 people. This is approximately 6 times greater than the state's infection rate. And we are on pace to match or exceed infection rates that we have seen in the Navajo Nation and in New York City.
Dr. Dunn says the state health department will continue offering expanded testing and information about the spread of the virus in Utah. But she says it's up to all of us to get this new spike under control. The governor says he's not issuing a mask mandate at this time, and he's not rolling the state back to orange. KSL News Time 520. Triple Team Traffic. It's an emergency report brought to you by Mountain America Credit Cards. Find your fave. And here's Ricky Meese.
Southbound I-15 left lanes remain blocked approximately 1500 south, so prior to the I-80-201 interchange. It's been reported as a vehicle fire. They're trying to get it loaded up on the tow truck, but that's all it's taken to cause delays to stretch back to about 600 north. If you continue southbound I-15, it's just a little busy between 72nd and 90th south. Northbound I-15 spots a slowing Draper to the south interchange. Heavy and slow westbound on the 201 from Bangor to 5600 west. Michelle?
Well, we still are looking at these construction delays. This is westbound I-80. It's right as you're approaching the 202 junction all the way over to where you're exiting onto SR36. Now, if you're on 5600 West, that's pretty busy there as well. This is between California Avenue and the 201 freeway. I-15 in Utah County, that's back to pretty good speeds. Just a little bit of slowing as you're going through Pleasant Grove. Steve?
Well, we have a smooth drive if you're on northbound 15 leaving from the downtown area into Davis County. Then you're going to see the thicker traffic typical between Kaysville and Clearfield in spots. We have a crash northbound 89 at Eagle Ridge Drive in North Salt Lake, and good speeds otherwise northbound Highway 89 with some slowing at South Weaver Drive up to I-84. The biggest free labor sale is happening now at Ogden's Flooring. The latest styles and colors at the lowest prices of the year. Free installation and lifetime labor warranty included. Visit ogdensflooring.com. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Let's check the seven-day forecast. Here's Kevin Eubank.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. A nice day out there, although it's toasty. Temperatures have been in the 90s under smoky sunshine. Clouds are moving in now, and they'll continue tonight and on Friday with a high of 90 degrees. We will clear things out, though, Saturday morning as a cold front comes through. That'll bring us some scattered rain showers during the day, highs in the 70s with lows in the 60s. We'll keep the sunshine for Sunday and Monday. Storms gone. Temperatures next week generally in the low to mid 80s. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kevin Eubank.
91 in Salt Lake City. You've been listening to the 5 o'clock report brought to you by Any Hour Services. Electrical, plumbing, heating, and air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time 523.
Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio. It's hit the finger square.
This is Derek Miller speaking on business. Utah contains a vibrant small business landscape, and this vital group of economic power is key to maintaining a healthy overall economy. Analysts believe that the comeback of the U.S. economy will be directly linked to small business recovery nationwide. We also know that nearly one in five small businesses fail within the first year of startup, and nearly half are closed by year five. The message is that these economic seeds need to survive for the well-being of our economy. Factor in the new realities brought by the pandemic, and small businesses become more important than ever, essential to our recovery. To assist and strengthen small businesses, Utah has a network of 14 small business development centers, driven with a mission to help these essential heroes in our market to survive and thrive. These centers provide free or low-cost training, tools, and access to business consultants that specialize in helping business owners succeed in starting, growing, or pivoting their business. Now is a time to think in terms of growth for your company. Small business consultants are here to provide targeted advice, and you can connect to this resource at utahsbdc.org. I'm Derek Miller with the Salt Lake Chamber, and this is Speaking on Business.
If you don't have a living trust in the state of Utah, everything you own, including your house, bank accounts, investments, everything, could be tied up in courts for a year, maybe even longer. It could cost your estate tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees and potentially get double taxed by the government. But you could avoid this by getting a free estate planning review from Boss Retirement Solutions in Salt Lake, winner of Utah's Best of State Award for Retirement Planning. If you've saved at least $200,000 for retirement, call to schedule this free review now at 801-682-4448. That's 801-682-4448. Be remembered as someone who left a legacy, not a mess. To get your free estate planning review, call 801-682-4448.
This review is for information purposes only. Consult with a licensed attorney.
We're watching Utah's Money. Gamers finally know the price of the new PlayStation 5, which comes out in November. Sony says the console will come with an internal hard drive and disk drive for $500, or without the disk drive for $400. On Wall Street, the Dow fell 130 points today. The S&P lost 28. The NASDAQ fell 140 points. KSL News Time 526, the trustees of a school district in southeastern Idaho have made it official. They're retiring the mascot of the city's oldest high school.
Assemblies at Pocatello High School have for decades featured the drill team in stereotypical Indian dress, symbolically breaking an arrow. Alumni like Clayton Armstrong call it a tribute to the local tribe.
I do revere the Bannock Shoshone people, and I don't think I would have had I not been a Pocatello Indian.
But the school's head football coach, Dave Spillett, says he always felt kind of weird about it.
Because my intentions to show my pride for our school is having a negative effect on those exact people we are claiming to honor.
The school board has spoken. The search is on for a new mascot. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.